The final week of Jesus' earthly ministry, he entered into Jerusalem in triumph to the shouting crowds of people. Matter of fact, when he entered the city, there was a crowd of religious folks that were there. And matter of fact, the religious crowd that was there told the disciples, those who were following Jesus, the crowd who was shouting when he entered into the city. And matter of fact, here's what they told him. They said, you need to be quiet. This is uncalled for. Showing the honor that was bestowed to one entering into the city such as Jesus did was the laying of palm branches and coats in the way as they entered into the city, coming in from the Mount of Olives. As Jesus made his way across the Kidron Valley and would enter into the city of Jerusalem. But one of the things that Jesus then turned and told the Pharisees and the religious crowd that was there, even if these were to be quiet, the stones themselves would cry out. Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem in triumph to the shouting crowds of people. You see, it was the time of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so by Friday of that week, Jesus would be utterly rejected and condemned to death. So from the shouting of Hosanna to him at the beginning of the week coming in to eventually condemned and sentenced to death. And he saw a cross. I think sometimes we lose sight of this fact and understanding that Jesus never regarded his path to the cross as anything but the successful unfolding of the plan of the Father. Matter of fact, Jesus himself made this statement. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He knew why he came. And all those things that occurred to him were not things that just happened by coincidence. God knew exactly what all was going to take place. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. This morning, as we just gained some insight into this one called Jesus. Matthew chapter number 10. I know that this is the beginning of Passion Week. We refer to this as Palm Sunday. Probably a majority of the churches around the world today in some form or fashion will celebrate the entering of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem with the palm branches and all of those things. But it was more than just Jesus coming into the city. There's more here than just that. The understanding of what was coming is a showdown that week. Had its beginnings all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Because this week in the city of Jerusalem, there would definitely be a showdown. But what does that really mean? I mean, what is the significance of that to us? Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. I want you to notice these words. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus goes on to say, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Of course, quoting part of this, drawing part of this from Micah chapter 7 and verse number 6. And then he goes on to say, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Now, I want to tell you something. Those are tough words. But I want you to understand today, those words were spoken by Jesus himself. You know, Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for us, rising again on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf today. But I mean, really, when it gets down to it, as we come to this week, now here's the amazing thing about it. This week, the most celebrated of holidays around the entire globe. But the significance of this week and the significance of next Sunday, which will be Resurrection Sunday, the significance and the impact, the eternal ramifications of this week should not go unnoticed. So what did Jesus say here in Matthew chapter number 10, talking to the crowd that's there? You see, the sword Jesus spoke of was the truth. It's the truth, and basically what it does is it comes down to a choice. Everything about this week, Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem, eventually going to the cross and dying. And matter of fact, he did all of that for us. But at the end of the day, when it all boils down to it, it all boils down to this, it boils down to a choice. But I will say this, for many that choice is a difficult thing. And we see that in verse 34. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." I will say this to you this morning, decision leads to division. When you choose Jesus Christ, it will bring division. Division to what level? Jesus goes as far to say as this division will come down, right down to the family level. But it gets more difficult as you go down through this passage of Scripture. As he goes down and he says in verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." That's hard. And let me tell you what he's saying there. The love in verse 37. The love in verse 37 is the motive for the cross in verse 38. The love in verse 37 is the motive for the cross in verse 38. How many of us are willing to take up our cross and follow him daily? We have to come to the place that when we make this decision for Jesus Christ, is where does he sit in our lives today? For the believer today, for the one who already knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, a simple question for you today. Where does your love for Jesus Christ sit today in your own life? Because I will tell you, depending on where our love for Jesus Christ resides today in our life is going to determine whether or not we take up our cross on a daily basis. Decision brings division. And we see that in the scripture. Well, what about the Jews during this time? What about all of those that were in the city of Jerusalem? You see, the Jews wanted a Messiah to rescue them from Rome, not a Savior to rescue them from sin. They wanted out from underneath that bondage of Rome. See, for them, it was a physical thing. It was a temporal thing. It was a comfort thing. The issue here that Jesus is wanting them to understand, the issue is not a physical, temporal thing. It is a spiritual, eternal thing. So our love for him today. I'm going to tell you something. The world has everything to offer you to try to place itself above the love that we should have for Jesus Christ himself. But please listen to me. That's nothing new. That has always been the case. You see, Jesus predicted that he would sacrifice himself to provide eternal life for anyone who would receive it. Look at verse 39 of Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus said, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will what? Will find it." And matter of fact, here's what Jesus just said: spare your life or sacrifice your life. That's the choice. It's either spare your life or sacrifice your life. That's what it boils down to. Folks, listen to me. Please listen to me today. It's a tough choice. But it's a choice everyone in this building has to make. Either he is who he claims to be or he's not. Matter of fact, here comes a king being praised, entering into Jerusalem, and by the end of the week, it's away with the king. What about us? You know, I know where I'm going. I know who my Redeemer is. I know I've been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, I know where I'm going. It doesn't make any difference what happens. Either way, whether it's through the rapture or whether it's by physical death here, I know when I die and I close my eyes on this side, I'll open them in the presence of the Lord. My question to you today, do you know that for sure? Because you can. You absolutely can. And so as Jesus turns for his final journey to Jerusalem, it's going to change his relationship to the holy city. And we see that. Flip over to Luke chapter 19 with me. Luke chapter 19. You can turn there or swipe there, whichever you prefer. You know, we used to always say, "Turn with me." Well, today it's turn or swipe, whichever you do, okay? Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus said, you know what? Sometimes you wish you could just have been there. To have been right there in the middle of them. Because Jesus turns to them and here's what he says. "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." So when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he did what? Please don't miss that. He wept over it. He wept over the city when he's coming into Jerusalem, as he moves from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley, inside, and he's coming into Jerusalem, as he stops, he begins to weep over the city. Why did he weep over the city? Look at verse 42, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you, hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Please listen to me. Today is the day of salvation. It's not a coincidence that you're even in this place today. They would miss their day of visitation. Jesus wept. Let me tell you what it shows us. Do you understand? Do you see the compassion Jesus had for those that should have known? Why should they have known? They had the prophets. They had the law. They had the Torah. They had the priest. They had the temple. They had all of it. Hold on just a minute. Because I know what some of you are thinking. Well, if it had been me, I'd have never missed it. Well, I can tell you this morning, there's going to be some of you going to walk out of this auditorium today and you're going to miss it. And see, here's the thing. We have the whole entire complete Word of God today. We know. Could you imagine being those in Jerusalem? The very one that's coming into Jerusalem that you think is going to rescue you. And now all of a sudden, the end of the week, you find him nailed to a cross. He's dead. He's placed inside of a tomb. They roll a stone in front of the tomb. For the majority of them, guess what? They thought it was all over. Matter of fact, many of them went back to their occupations from before. Life went on in the city of Jerusalem. They thought it was over. They thought it was done. So what about us today? What about us in this building? Let me ask you a question. When you look at people going to and fro, family members that we have, are we moved with compassion when we see them, when they just absolutely reject the truth, knowing the eternal consequences that are going to come as a result of rejecting the truth? Should. Understanding and realizing that if they die without Jesus Christ, where they're going to spend all of eternity, not temporary, eternity. Let me tell you something, there ought to be an all out, absolute put. That's why I said last week, if you've ever had an opportunity to get somebody into a church service, it's this time of the year. For what? For them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they should be here. Sure, there was a triumphal entry. There was the Passover meal. There was the time that Jesus spent in front of Pilate and Herod. It was a heinous death. Yes, he was beat in Pilate's court. But please listen to me. For what reason? Because he loves us so. And he gave his life for us. You see, the tears came from the sorrow over Israel's rejection of him as the Messiah, and because Jerusalem would be destroyed due to their own unbelief. Matter of fact, what he's talking about there is something that was coming in AD 70 when Jerusalem was going to basically be leveled. He knew that. He saw it. Coming to the city to the shouts of the crowd, Jesus apparently intended to challenge the Jerusalem authorities to make up their minds. It was a showdown. It was decision time. Well, think about this with me this morning. The same challenge remains today. See, what happened in Jerusalem when Jesus came riding into the city, that hadn't changed. That decision for all of those who were gathered that day, that same decision remains today. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Not just intellectually believing that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, but have you ever come to the point in time in your life where you understand you're a sinner standing before a holy God and repent of that sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ with a personal relationship with him? That's what's required. You say, well, I believe, Brother Robert. Well, I tell you this, okay, but Paul writing to the church of Corinth, here's what he said. Even Satan and his demons believe. My dear friend, listen to me. Intellectual belief is not enough. It is not enough. So here comes the question. Would they or would they not accept the rule of his kingdom? The question was pivotal. And that question's pivotal today for us. You see, it was not about political security or physical abundance. After all the time that Jesus spent with his people, they still reject him. Yet he willingly went to the cross anyway. To do what? Hold on. Please listen to me this morning. Let me tell you why he went there. You want to know why he went there? I'll tell you why he went there. Because he proved. He proved his unbroken love, grace, and mercy. You see, he proved it to us. It's easy to say we love somebody. It's another thing to prove that love. Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. My dear friend, listen to me. What we're celebrating this time of the year isn't simply words that have been spoken. My dear friend, it was proven to us on the cross of Calvary with an empty tomb and a Savior that is seated at the right hand of the Father today. He proved that to us. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God proved his love to us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ what? He died for us. And while we were still a what? Say it. Come on. Come on. Listen. If I ask you a question, you answer it. He died for us while we were still a what? Aren't you thankful today? You see, it was about the eternal destiny of the people. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem and he began to weep because he could see what was coming. You know, I honestly believe today we've been in church and we've been in church services for so long, we've heard it so much over and over and over again. Okay. If you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to spend all of eternity separated from God. I just don't think that's ever quite sunk into our hearts. Eternally separated from God. I just can't imagine. I honestly can't imagine what it would be like for an individual standing at the great white throne judgment of God when the books are opened. Now keep in mind that all of those who are standing there includes those who had died before. Standing before the great white throne judgment of God. And so all of the books are opened. And the book of life. And they were all judged out of those things that were written in the books. Including the Lamb's book of life. That's not the time for God to search the Lamb's book of life to determine whether or not your name is there. So you'll see it's not there. But I guess probably more for me than anything else is to hear the words that come following that, "Depart from me, because I never knew you," into a lake of what? Of fire. Prepared for Satan and his angels. You see, this week, yes, Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem as the Messiah, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wound up nailed to a cross. You see, it was about the eternal destiny of the people. Nothing's changed today. You see, it's still about the eternal destiny of people. Satan and his demons are looking for every opportunity. Any opportunity to work against the Lord. And I can tell you right now, he's at work in here. Oh, you're all right. You don't have anything to worry about. Surely at the end of the day, when everything's added up, I've heard people say, "I just pray that my good outweighs my bad." I would hate to know I'm looking at coming to the end of life and I'm having to worry about something like that. See, I know where I'm going today, not based upon anything I've done, but based upon the sole promise of the Lord Jesus himself. I want to leave you with this morning. No sorrow. No sorrow can compare to the remorse of one who discovers too late that they have rejected the very giver of life himself. And everybody in this auditorium this morning, here's something you need to understand. Because here's what the scripture says, that there's coming a day. Woo, I thought about him when he's riding into Jerusalem and that crowd of disciples that were there begin to praise him when he's coming in. Are you ready for this? There's coming a day where every single knee is going to bow in every single tongue is going to declare that he is Lord.